Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Skipper Limited 1Q earnings call hosted by Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Teena Virmani from Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good evening, everyone. Today, we welcome the management of Skipper for discussion on 1Q FY25 performance. Management team is represented by Mr. Sharan Bansal, Director; Mr. Shiv Shankar Gupta, CFO; Mr. Aditya Bhujari, GM Finance and IR. So over to you, Mr. Sharan, for your opening remarks, and then we will open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you. Thank you, Teena. Good afternoon to you all, and thank you for your continued interest in Skipper. Please take note that any forward-looking statements made during the call must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the industry and the company face. Some of the key operational and financial highlights in comparison to previous year quarter were as follows. I'm pleased to inform you that we have delivered yet another good quarter and registered our best first quarter revenue ever on back of strong execution in engineering and infra segment by nearly doubling our revenue over previous year quarter period while maintaining healthy operating EBITDA margins of 9.6%. The net revenue for the quarter stood at 1,092 crores against rupees 555 crores. The segmental revenue breakup were as follows: engineering 829 crores, up by 99%; infra segment 168 crores, up by 1,600%; and polymer 95 crores, down by 26%. The company's engineering export sales almost doubled, reaching rupees 251 crores against rupees 127 crores, and constituted 30% of overall engineering segment revenue. The polymer performance was impacted on account of elections in quarter one this year, which significantly affected project sales, though it had a lesser impact on retail sales. Management expects to make up and partially recover the loss of revenue in quarter two next year. Our reported consolidated EBITDA increased to rupees 104.7 crores, up by 74%, with operating margins standing at 9.6% for the quarter. The engineering segment EBITDA margins for the quarter stood at 11%. We have clocked the desired margin range of 11%-12% now for the past many quarters. Going forward also, we will see a consistent margin performance from this business on back of better quality contract execution. The management focus continues towards bottom-line improvements. The consolidated PBT increased to 43 crores, and PBT margin at 4% of sales for the current quarter period against 23 crores in previous year quarter. The consolidated PAT doubled to 32 crores against rupees 16 crores in previous year quarter, while PAT margins improved to 3% of sales. On the order front, I'm happy to inform yet another good quarter for us. During the quarter, company secured significant-sized domestic contracts from PGCIL and SEBs and export markets in the Middle East and Africa, contributing to a total inflow of over 765 crores. Our current order book stands at a high level of 5,844 crores, well-diversified across sectors and segments, with an order book to engineering and infra segment sales ratio of 2.1 times FY24 sales. We have revenue visibility for the next two to three years. The tender pipeline remains deep, with the current bidding pipeline at an all-time high of 18,000 crores, reflecting strong opportunities in both domestic and international markets. We're in advanced stages of negotiation to secure sizable international and domestic contracts. The vibrant domestic T&D environment aligns with Skipper's commitment to leverage India's transmission sector growth. With the government's focus on scaling renewable grid infrastructure and improving electrification, Skipper is poised to support this growth. Our qualification to undertake EPC projects at the highest voltage level of 765 and 800 kV gives us a strong advantage, as there is very limited competition at this level. We are among the few companies in the country with the capabilities to execute these high voltage projects, backed by years of expertise and experience. Additionally, these projects offer better margins compared to lower voltage projects. In conclusion, Skipper Limited continues to deliver strong operational and financial performance, driven by our focus on execution excellence, strategic initiatives and prudent financial management. We remain optimistic about the future and are confident in our ability to create long-term value for our stakeholders. Thank you, and I'm happy to take questions now.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rishabh Wang from Sacheti Family House. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Yeah, thank you, sir. So, you know, I want to understand, how do we secure the international orders? Like, is it directly or through EPC players abroad? Have you seen decent repeatability of orders from certain regional vendors? And what kind of marketing or sales costs do we incur for sourcing these? Further, what are your international capabilities in terms of team size around sales and installation, and any sales office in a prominent market? Like, what has been the trend in that, and how do you think about it in future?
Okay, I'll try and remember all your questions, sir. Number one, I think you asked about how do we secure these orders, and whether it's from EPC or the utilities. So, it's a mix of EPC and utilities. Primarily, the orders come from the EPC contractor, and sometimes we also work directly with the utilities, purchasing the towers and poles directly. How do we secure them? Essentially, it's a long process of registration and approval which we have to take with the end customer. And we have been working on the international market for more than 15 years now, and getting ourselves registered and approved in various geographies, various utilities. So we have secured approvals in a large number of countries, which are there in our annual report. You can see that as well. And we are also continuously expanding upon that list. If you could please repeat your other three questions, please.
Yeah. So how does the repeatability of orders from regional vendors are like, or do you have to find different vendors every time once the order is complete?
So basically, our orders are project-based. So, you know, obviously, we do get repeat orders from a lot of large contractors. Like, we work globally with about 200 to 250 global EPC contractors. And obviously, we do a lot of repeat business with a lot of them. Sometimes it can be for the same geography, and sometimes it can be for different geographies where they are operating at also. So, but it is project based. It is when they win project, that's when they enter into contract with us.
Also, like, what have been your international capabilities in terms of team size around sales and installation? And do you also have some sales office in a prominent market, like maybe Australia for you or somewhere in the Middle East?
Yes, we have sales and marketing people in almost about 6 to 7 countries right now, which are Skipper employees. And also, we work with a lot of representatives and other associates in various markets, in close to about 70 to 80 active markets for us.
Any numbers on how many employees do we actually have, like, and how has it been increasing? Like, I want to understand how focused are we to get grow this business.
Overall, see, including India, the team sitting in India is obviously the largest size. We have a large international marketing team, and obviously this team is very mobile across continents and geographies. If you're asking specifically about international people, you know, that is a little too specific, but essentially I can tell you that we have close to about a 30 to 40 strong international marketing team.
And how much do we plan to increase it in the future? Any idea on that?
So that is too specific, sir. I mean, it's hard for me to say.
Nice. One more question, right? So before 2018, right, in 15, 16, 17, we used to get very attractive EBITDA margins. So what led to achieving us that in the earlier time, and what has changed in the business over the years?
Even earlier, if you look at our main segment of engineering products, we always were delivering about between 11%-12% EBITDA margins. Perhaps maybe what you're talking about, the 15%-16% margin could have been because of other gains like Forex gains, etc. Even now, our engineering segment, which is our largest segment, that is delivering those kind of margins. On a blended basis, the company, because of our other divisions, we are delivering roughly about 9.5%-10%, which is also better than the industry average, I can tell you.
On capacity utilization, how does the capacity utilization is, and what is the capacity size of majority competitors in India and abroad? When you say you are a truly integrated T&D company, what do you mean by truly integrated? How does your competitor perform there, and how does it help us on EBITDA margin front?
Okay. So in terms of, if you can ask me one question at a time, actually, I'm losing track of your question.
Sorry. What is the capacity utilization and capacity size of other competitors in India and abroad?
Currently, our capacity, which is about 300,000 tons a year. Last year, we were at roughly about 70% utilization. This year, we expect to be about 90% utilization. In terms of capacities of other players in India, there are other. We have the largest capacity located in India. Other players, in terms of their global capacities, I would not be having up-to-date data, please.
Okay. Any name of global players?
KEC International is obviously a global player. They have capacities in a lot of geographies. The other would be large Chinese companies like Qingdao, Nanjing Daji, and then there could be Turkish companies like Mithas and Saga.
Okay. Yeah.
Industries from USA is also a large player.
Okay. Got it. And when you say truly integrated T&D company, right, what do you mean by truly integrated? What are competitors not doing that we are doing here, and how does it help on EBITDA margin front?
By truly integrated, we mean that we are the only company having backward integration of rolling mill, tower production, poles production, fasteners production, and EPC construction in the same company. To our knowledge, no other T&D company in the world has entire end-to-end integration within the same company.
All right. That is very helpful. I have more questions. I will come in the queue. Thank you so much. Very good answer.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gunjan Kabra from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity and very good set of numbers. My first question is that I wanted to understand that we have 18,000 crores of orders of pipeline right now divided into domestic and international. So what's the timeline of these orders getting rewarded to the tower players?
You're asking what is the timeline from the bidding stage to ordering stage?
Right now, we have around 18,000 crores of order pipeline, right? So what timeline will it take for the EPC and the utility companies to award these tenders to the tower companies?
In India, typically, we are seeing a six- to nine-month cycle from bidding to award. And globally, that cycle is longer. It could be anywhere between one to two years.
Okay. So you think that, okay, so this number can come in, the domestic pipeline will be awarded in six to nine months. Okay. Secondly, I wanted to understand that the tower, how does it work in terms of kV? So do we make for 220 kV, 750? Is the tower business also work this way? Just wanted to understand from the sense that we are expanding by 75,000 tons. So what could be the incremental turnover from 75,000 tons? How is that determined? I mean, if PGCIL is giving you an order, for example, of 500 crores or 1,000 crores, then what's the ton that goes into that 1,000 crores amount, if you can explain in that way?
So in the sense, you will not get a straight one-to-one relation between the capacity and the revenue because the overall revenue is mixed up of a lot of our segments of engineering products, infra segment as well as polymer. And also within the engineering segment, we have multiple products and services. We also provide engineering services with design, testing and R&D services. So it's a combination of a lot of various divisions of the company which contribute to the revenue. In terms of capacity, our largest product division, which is towers and poles, there we have a capacity of 300,000 tons, which we are expanding by 25% to increase by 75,000 tons.
Yeah, so I was asking, what is the revenue that can come from 75,000 tons? So if 75,000 comes in, then what's the revenue that we can do? Or maybe if you can explain this, because we are spending 200 crores, so if you can explain with asset turnover, that how much can that incremental revenue come in with this
revenue? Purely the capacity increase, because the overall capex will go towards enhancing our other services capability also, and as well as our overall debottlenecking of the plant. So I would say that this capex which we are doing presently will lead to additional revenue of about 800 to
1,000 crores. 800 to 1,000 crores. Okay. And sir, right now, I mean, how is our telecom segment panning out in terms of, because in the budget also, BSNL has got a very high allocation comparatively in the telecom, and in digitization is also there, 5G rollout is also happening. So how is that demand expected to be, or are we focusing more on the power side?
See, in terms of overall volume, yes, power is definitely more than telecom. Having said that, telecom is a very good segment for us. It has been consistent. And yes, BSNL has been, a good customer for us. Government is very focused on enhancing BSNL network coverage. So I would say that, yes, there will be plenty of telecom opportunities for us in the future.
Okay. And one thing which I asked in the previous question, I wanted to understand, so towers also are determined by KV, right? So 765 KV, 220 KV, or then do we specialize in all segments, or we manufacture up to some range?
No, of course, we manufacture the full range, from the small gantry structures of a substation to lower voltage towers like 11 KV, 33 KV, 66 KV. And going up to the highest voltage, which is 765 kV and 800 kV. So we are present across the value chain in all the voltage segments.
And so versus the competitors, because there are too many players also, so are we the only ones who are manufacturing into the all range, or there are other players also in India?
I would say that as the voltage level goes up, there are obviously fewer and fewer competition, because fewer players have capability to manufacture structures at the highest level. In our segment, we have competition from about 8 to 10 manufacturers.
8 to 10. Okay. And lastly,
sorry to interrupt. We request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions, as there are several participants waiting for their turn. The next question is from the line of Darshil Pandya from Fintrust Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Sir, what will be our order inflow for FY25, expected order inflow? And one of the reasons I would also like to ask that, historically, as it is mentioned in the investor presentation, Q1 is, is something where we get more orders. So was it impacted due to the elections, or what was it? If you can please just explain.
No, that's not really the case where Q1 we get more orders. It's not exactly, if you look at last year also, last year our total order inflow was about 4,000 odd crores.
Correct.
Q3 was very low. Q3 was only less than 500 crores. So it's got 402 crores actually. So honestly, yeah, there's no defined trend where any one particular quarter has less or more. Overall in the year, if you ask me, our aspiration is that we should secure anywhere between 4,500 to 5,000 crores of orders this year. And I believe that the Q1 performance is in line with the overall target.
Correct. Absolutely. And second question was, sir, you think our post Q1 results, we may achieve more than what we have guided for the whole year?
As of now, our guidance continues to be 25% growth over last year's revenue.
That's quite interesting. And sir, something on debt repayment. What more steps are we taking to, you know, reduce this debt?
The company's debt is at a comfortable level. Our long-term debt is not at a high level at all. We have mostly working capital debt, and which is very, very manageable. Company has very good cash flows. So we are, but as we are also, we have recently done a rights issue to boost the working capital growing working capital requirements of the company. We have already secured the first tranche of the rights issue payment, about 50 crores. And further 150 crores also, we do have a plan to take it, to call for the balance money in this financial year itself. So obviously that will go towards the reduction of overall debt.
All right. And that's one last, just a suggestion. If you can just put up these numbers in crores rather than millions, would be really helpful for the investors and the analysts.
Actually, a lot of our foreign stakeholders insist upon the numbers to be in millions, so which is why we keep the numbers in millions.
All right, so that's helpful. Thank you so much. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participants. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rafat Sayed from Incred Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks sir for taking a question and congrats on great numbers to keep our team. Sir, can you please elaborate on your order pipeline? You said it's close to 18,000 crore rupees. So which country you expect more order to come? And also, can you guide me your order win ratio in the past? I believe it's around 30-45% coming into orders. So that would be great.
Yeah, sure. In terms of our order win ratio, see, the number changes, you know, obviously on a year-to-year basis. On an average, we have been able to secure about 25%. Of the order pipeline or order bidding pipeline, and we've been able to convert 25% into actual contracts.
Okay.
And in terms of geography, obviously, look, what we expect, at least in this financial year, we do expect a lion's share of the business to come from the Indian market, because the Indian market is very, very robust and T&D demand is very high. A lot of tenders are available for bidding right now. Internationally, we do expect that markets such as Middle East, Australia, and parts of Latin America, we will be able to see good order inflows.
Yeah, thanks. And my next question on your order book. Let's say if your order book of 5800 rupees, so what is the balance share of orders from PGCIL and BSNL?
You're asking about the balance orders?
Yeah. Order book of 15 rupees. What is the share of PGCIL and BSNL orders in this order?
Okay. 1400. Let us come back to you with those exact numbers. I don't want to give you a wrong number right now.
Sure. And sir, last question is on your again. There's something else changed completely in last 1 year. Let's say, especially for you guys, the order inflow is now getting, despite having a high base last year from the BSNL orders. See, you're growing, let's say, to some extent in terms of order book and also the order pipeline. So I just want to understand what exactly has changed that industry, including India and overseas, getting a lots of order inflow. The pipeline, let's say for you only, let's say last year talking about close to 10,000 rupees, it is almost double. So what exactly has changed in this industry?
There are basically, there are two, three changes that have happened. Power demand has also taken a very good uptick. So peak power demand, as you must have noticed, has been rising consistently in India. And the second thing, what has been happening is that there is a lot of stress on renewable power addition. So both of these factors are leading to enhanced investments in power T&D. This is a trend which we have been seeing for the last 3 to 4 years. However, it has picked up a lot of pace in the since the last year and a half, not just in India, but in a lot of global markets as well. And we expect that this trend of renewables and overall power consumption will continue to grow because all countries are trying to move towards greener and greener sources of power. So that is a trend which we expect will continue for the next several years.
Okay, and sir, lastly on your CapEx,
we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Deepak Puswani from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. Congratulations for a very good set of numbers.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Sir, firstly, if you can give a sense on the bidding pipeline, we have mentioned in the presentation we are in advanced stage of negotiation to secure some good size international contract. If you can give a sense in terms of the scope of client and quantum of the project, that would be really helpful.
No, I'll not be able to share specific information because that is confidential. But as you can see from the first quarter order inflow of 765 crores, we are very much in line with our overall annual target of order inflow.
Okay. And secondly, sir, when we have maintained a revenue guidance of 25%, but if I were to look into the Q1 execution actually, then the next three quarter implying that is going to be flat. So just wanted to get sense from your end, is it like we are trying to be more conservative or should we expect some more pickup, should we expect some growth in H2 or going ahead?
See, last year we have already had a very strong revenue growth from previous year 2000 crores to about 3300 crores last year. And even on this enhanced base, we have guided for a 25% revenue growth. So we feel that we would like to be conservative in our guidance. And of course, the effort will be to perform better than the guidance given.
And then, sir, coming to the engineering product, if I were to look into the EBITDA margin, this time actually the contribution of export projects, export revenue has increased 30%, whereas our EBITDA margin are at 11% versus 11.6% in the last year as a whole. How should we see this margin? I mean, should we expect when the contribution from the export market increases, should this margin improve further going forward, or would you like to comment on it?
It is difficult to see margins and specific performance on a quarter. It will have to be seen on a more on an annual basis because individual quarters, you know, they can have various quality of contracts being executed. So that is what determines the overall margin. So it is difficult to comment on.
So sir, year as a whole, our export contribution will increase from here. So year as a whole, how should we look into the margin?
No, as a year as a whole, we are not really guiding for an increase in export performance. Our order book is roughly about 18% of exports. So that is the guidance for the overall export execution in the year as well.
Okay. And then, sir...
14%, not 18%. 14% is the export contribution in our order book.
Okay. And secondly,
sorry,
sir, the way...
We request just, that you just to the question queue for the follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Rishabh Gang from Sacheti Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, please.
Sir, I wanted to understand what help for transmission and distribution and non-transmission and distribution such as railways and telecom, and which pockets of the world do you think sizable replacement demand will come?
See, currently we are not, seeing most of our demand coming from new infrastructure build only and not really replacement build. Because as I mentioned earlier to the earlier caller, that a lot of our demand is being led by renewable power investment. So as renewable power investment is happening, that's what be leading to T&D and other sectors growth. So we are yet not catering to much of a replacement market.
Okay. But what are the useful life of tar and mix?
40 to 50 years.
Fine. I have been mentioning about these telecom towers, right? 8 lakh new mobile towers over next 2 years. Wanted to understand what has been the volume level sales for you in last 1 year and mobile tower front. Like this 8 lakh number, what is your view on this?
I believe that players like BSNL, Vodafone, Jio, and Bharti, all of them will have good expansion plans. And of course, we are working with all the operators. In terms of private operators, we have not seen much change in demand this year compared to last year. It's only BSNL where we secured the large contract last year is where we are seeing maximum execution happening. So in terms of other private players, the demand is in with last year's demand.
Any idea on volume for mobile towers that you have, like how many towers that you have sold in last 1 year on telecom front?
So that is again in terms of difficult to say, but telecom roughly makes about 20-25% of our engineering revenue.
All right. I have no question. Can I ask right now? Should I come back?
I prefer you request you to come back because there is a queue.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hitesh Popat, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
First of all, many congratulations for the good set of numbers.
Thank you, sir.
I have a couple of questions. If I could recollect the figures rightly, there is the infra division is not to the mark. So is there any specific reason or a spillover or haven't booked much revenue in this quarter?
No, that is again, see, as I mentioned earlier, the numbers will have to be seen on a quarter, on an annual basis. On a particular quarter basis, see, it can be possible. And again, this quarter, because of elections, etc., there was some slowdown in execution. So honestly, overall in the year, we do expect good growth in the infra segment over last year.
Okay, that's quite good. Another question would be, can you share the market share of T&D and telecom within India and globally?
I cannot comment on overall market share, but in terms of the high voltage sector, Skipper does have a 10 to 15% market share.
Okay, and overall, yeah, within India?
Within India, yes.
And globally?
Globally, and it's a very difficult number to, I mean, it's anyone's guess. But we are one of the prominent players globally.
Okay. Yes, fair enough. Lastly, in foreign countries like export, do we foresee which countries like which has a higher potential and where we are not yet present? Any projection on that?
Yes, I think we see a lot of potential in developed markets, particularly Australia, North America like US, Canada, and the European markets. So except for Australia, we don't have much of a presence in North America and Europe right now. We are doing some small contracts in these geographies, but we are hoping for larger and more lucrative contracts from these places in the future.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Gunjan Kabra from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Thank you once again. So there has been delay in, there has been news articles stating that, you know, by PGCIL that the orders worth ₹44,000 getting delayed by 12 months, 32 months. So how is that? Because if that delays happen on the EPC side, on the execution side, then it might, you know, impact our order of execution also. So how is the execution happening on the transmission side, if you can throw some light? Or there is nothing like this?
As such, see, there are, you know, there can be, we don't see really any much delay. There is a healthy pipeline and tenders are getting finalized at a regular interval. There may be some temporary delay of a few months because of the elections currently. But I think that also, now that elections are over, we feel that, you know, if the awarding activity will come back to normal levels. So, as such, we are not concerned about any real slowdown as such.
Okay. And so, though you have answered this question in bits and pieces, but going forward, when we are growing at 25% for next 2-3 years, then can we, like, have, you know, the previous participant also asked that in the engineering segment, we had a margin of around 15-16% in 2015-16. So what can be the margins that we can, you know, look forward to? Can it reach to like 11%, or what's the number that you're trying to for the overall year, I'm asking?
See, definitely long term, we do have an aspiration that over as a consolidated in the company, we must move beyond 10% margin. Currently, we are at below 10% margin for the company. And certainly, we think that there is an opportunity, a very clear opportunity for us to move into the 11-12% consolidated basis for the company in the next few years.
Okay. And the US and Europe themselves are expanding a lot on the transmission side right now. If we see the numbers that has been coming up from these countries as well, the TNT expansion is pretty high. So who are like, who is supplying to them right now? Are the Turkey players supplying to them, or they are domestically sufficient? And how are we planning to you know, cater to this market? Because or do we require any certifications for the export markets in the US, like the transformer company do require it?
Certainly, we do require certifications, and we are approved by various engineering bodies like CWB, the Canadian Welding Bureau. And at the same time, we are also in the process of obtaining more and more certifications in North America, as because the utility market is not driven by any one or two utilities. There are several hundred utilities across North America. Currently, if you ask me who is supplying there, I would say the largest market share there is with the Turkish manufacturers. And then also the Chinese manufacturers are active in the North America market. Otherwise, they also get serviced some from manufacturers in Brazil and Mexico, and apart from the local manufacturers who are present within the US-Canada itself.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Thank you so much. And good luck to the entire team.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Deepak Purswani from Swan Investment. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the follow-up opportunity. So I just wanted to check it out. I mean, the way growth has shaped it up for us, would it be fair to assume we would be requiring a little more capital than what we have from the right issue, 150-odd crore? And last year our debt was at 575 crore. How should we look into that number year as a whole by end of this year? And consequent to it, in terms of the interest expenses, currently we are at 4.7% in this quarter. How should we look into this number year as a whole?
Okay, so in terms of further capital raising, we don't have any immediate plans beyond the rights issue. As the company, because we feel that the internal accruals of the company will be strong enough to meet our growth plans. If once the rights issue proceeds are over, then we may look at further opportunities, if at all. In terms of the overall debt number, there may be some increase, as because we are in a capex mode now, and we have taken up a capex of 200 crores plus this year to enhance capacity. So and also the working capital, there may be some expansion as the growth comes. So again, you can expect some moderate growth in the overall debt number in line with the overall top line of the company.
And interest as a percentage of revenue?
Interest as a percentage, certainly last year also we had an improvement in the interest percentage, and this year also we are expecting that a further improvement as a percentage of sales.
Okay. Should we expect it come down close to 4% year as a whole?
Our aspiration is to go below 4.5%.
Okay. And secondly, sir, on the polymer business, I mean, if I were to look into the last year, the growth was, growth actually moderated to 11% in the last year. And this quarter, again, there has been some decline, though you have mentioned in the presentation regarding decline in this quarter. But if you can throw some light, I mean, why this business is moderating actually, and also how should we look into going ahead?
No, so there's no moderation as such in polymer. It continues to do well for us. This year, particularly this quarter, I think the sales were affected because of election and especially the project sales. Despite that, you know, the retail sales have grown by about 20%, and we expect that in the further quarters, sales numbers will rebound.
Okay. Actually, sir, in the H2 also, there was some decline in revenue. I mean, in Q3, growth was 11%, and Q4, it has declined by 30%. So just wanted to check it out.
Overall, I think last year also, the commodity prices had some role to play because in the overall market demand. But I think demand should certainly be stable for the rest of the year.
Oh, thank you. Thanks a lot. And wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishabh Gang from Sacheri Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. You know, I wanted to understand more on the polymer side, like what has been the volume growth for us, and how volume and how do we compare with other listed players in terms of revenue, volume, and margin growth? Any idea on that, sir?
Sorry, could you repeat your question, please?
Yeah, am I audible?
Yeah, yeah. Please repeat your question.
Yeah. Yeah. So, on the, how has the volume growth been, and how do you see it? And how are we comparing the listed players in terms of revenue and margin growth for the polymer business?
So, this year, this quarter, we have a volume degrowth. So, basically, against last year quarter number of 8,880 tons, we have grown by 10%, so that was basically 8,000 tons. And that's primarily being the reason, has already been explained, that this being an election year, the project sales had been impacted, though we have seen a 20% growth in the retail sales number. We generally, our categorization in this segment, in this market, is basically premium. We compete against the like of Supreme, Astral, Phenolex, and our brand categorization is in premium category in this segment.
All right. So what are the EBITDA margins, right, for the companies that you mentioned? What is the kind of EBITDA margins they have, and what is the kind of, like, by when that you would be able to achieve that kind of EBITDA, I would like to understand.
Yes. So the industry operates at an EBITDA margin of 11 to 12% kind for the most of the premium players. We operate at a 4% to 5% kind of a level, since we are a small player in this and we are a growing player. So we are we need to incentivize the dealer network more as we enter into newer geographies. So as we attain scale and size in this space, so in this business, we will get a fixed cost rationalization benefit over a larger revenue base, and that will help in attaining improving on our margins on this business.
Got it. But at what kind of revenue levels or volume level would we be able to see some operating leverage come in play? Any idea on that, sir? Like, we are earning half the margin than the competitors. We would like to understand how would they transition.
So we think once we are closer to a 1,000 crore kind of a number, you can expect a double digit kind of margin performance in this business.
All right.
What are the working capital days for our polymer business and the segment level ROC for polymer? And what has been the lifetime high ROC for the polymer business?
We can take this question offline here.
All right, got it. Just last question on this. So we have, I understand that you have been doing pretty good investment on the advertising side for the polymer business. We have got Gale and Zuni on board. So any idea on how much are we spending on getting them on annual contracts? How much are we spending on other polymer?
On an annual basis, we are spending almost about 15 to 20 crores.
And how much of them is for the brand ambassador business?
10 crores.
Got it. Just one last question, if it allows. How are we passing on the raw material price? Any increase in the raw material price, both on the engineering front and on the PVC front, to the customer? Like, how does the pricing happens and how do we pass it?
So on the polymer front, it's generally a pass through. So whatever there is an increase, we pass it to the market. On the engineering front, it's a combination of a fixed price contract as well as variable price contract. So there is an EMA-driven formula which derives what benefit needs to be priced. So that takes into consideration all the zinc raw material, steel, as well as the labor price index. So that's a formula that is very well accepted in the market. So that's how the passage
it
goes
to. Sorry, I want to ask one last question. How much percentage of the finance cost is actually interest cost for us? And because I understand you pay a lot of guarantee charges as well. And what are the rates that you have on the CC limit and term loans?
We will get back to you on this.
All right. Thank you so much. Really appreciate your time.
We'll get back to you on this.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshil Pandya from Fintrust Capital. Please go ahead.
So just one follow-up question on polymer business. Are we also targeting the construction companies where, you know, we can have some contracts with the construction companies already in place? Hello?
They form part of our basically on the project side business. So there's some portion of our sales goes to those construction companies.
That's okay. And what was the mix of private versus government? Are we also giving it to the government? Or are we providing?
So most of our sales are to the retail. Government constitutes almost about 5 to 10% of our revenue.
5 to 10%. And just on the last question, one of the participants asked you about doubling the margins in this polymer business. So FY24 number would be how much in the polymer business? How much business have we done in the polymer business?
450.
So last year we did almost about 450 crores.
Okay. And you're saying that once you reach the 1000 level, you'll be doubling it. So what are the aspirations of the company to, you know, how quickly when we can reach the, we can reach at this level?
In the next 2 to 3 year time, we see reaching up to that level, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you so much and all the best to the team. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Bhandari from Art Ventures. Please go ahead. Hello, Mr. Pratik?
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand, you mentioned about the polymer volumes you did in this quarter. Can you repeat that?
What?
Volumes done in the polymer business.
The volumes that we have done in this quarter is 8,000 tons.
And what was in the last quarter?
The last quarter was 9,000.
All right. So there is a degrowth of approximately 10%.
Right.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishabh Gang from Sacheti Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Wanted to understand, like, what is the risk on the side of a product? I understand that on the engineering side, you make a product on the order. But if you make a product, it's a very customized product and the customer does not accept it or he finds some error in the product, then what happens? How is the resolution there? Because there will be some rejections on that front also, right?
See, typically, in the our rejection rate is less than 0.002%. So obviously, it is negligible. And that has been the consistent trend for last several years. And in terms of, yes, it is a customized made-to-order product. We also can't remember the last time when we made a product for a customer and the supplies were not picked up by the customer, because normally we have advance payments also to secure the production that we are doing. It is very difficult for the customer to back out of a contract after he has given us a release. It is extremely difficult because there will be financial losses for the customer also.
All right. Also, you know, last in one of the calls you have mentioned about Australia and the benefit due to ROD PET scheme. So what does it, like, how much pricing or margin benefit do we get on Australian orders because of that RODTEP scheme?
No, so the RODTEP is applicable to all exports going out of India. And which earlier the RODTEP benefit after the earlier, the previous MEIS scheme was withdrawn, then in the interim period there was no export benefits available. Then last year the government instituted the RODTEP scheme under which a 1% export benefit was given to all of our exports out of India. And in terms specifically regarding Australia, the benefit that we got was that signing of the India-Australia Free Trade Agreement, which was signed last year between the Indian and Australian government, because of which the duty which was applicable on our products in Australia, that was removed and our products became cheaper for the Australian customers.
So, was all the products imported in Australia become cheap, like that coming from China also, or only from India?
No, no. So India and Australia signed a free trade agreement for a certain defined number of products. And out of those products, our product was also included.
How much percentage duty got waived off or any on that?
I believe the duty was about 4% earlier.
Got it. So since we are supporting the renewables network, have we explored any foreign borrowing which are coming at a lower interest cost? Because at the end, we are supporting an ESG theme. So have you explored that, because you are a very working capital heavy business?
So again, like I mentioned earlier, we believe that our cash flows are very healthy and we are able to manage our working capital very well. Having said that, we are always on the lookout for lower cost of financing, both from India and abroad, for funding our working capital and growth plans.
Also, no revenue comes for us, like a very small percentage of revenue comes from operations and maintenance, right?
Currently, yes, we don't have much revenue coming from there. However, in the coming years, we do expect some good revenues to come from that operation and maintenance services as well.
And that should have a higher EBITDA margin, right?
Yes, for sure.
So what kind of a business, like from which segment would you be able to give this O&M business? Any idea on that front?
It will be in our infra segment.
Infra segment. All right. Thank you so much.
Specifically the telecom sector.
Telecom sector. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are taking this as a last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
We are confident of delivering profitable revenue growth with a consistent margin in the current year and expect to clock revenue growth in excess of 25% CAGR for the next two financial years on back of pending engineering and infra contracts and improvement in polymer segment performance. Our diversification into international markets and sectors will help us to pick choose higher margin orders coming our way and provide us an opportunity to be spoiled for choices across the sectors, aiding to continued better margin performance, improved bottom line profitability and capital return ratios in the coming quarters. The company's efforts towards sustainable business practices will help to achieve its goal by making meaningful contributions to the national and global infrastructure. We appreciate your continued support and look forward to interact with you again in the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.